morning and welcome to Jenkins Church. It's kind of a nice day outside, and I guess that's why there's not a lot of people. Plus, Williamson County is on fall break. Thank you. I'm very forgetful. Let's start with any announcements. One thing I do want to remind, I want to get to Sherry in the bazaar. Next Sunday at 5:30, I believe, 5:30, the Operation Christmas Child, where we're going to be putting together the shoe boxes. Now, that is the youth, the Kids for Christ, and the CPWM. And we're going to be loading up the shoe boxes. You can make a cash donation. You can give it to myself or Brother Larry today or next week to cover the mailing and or for us to buy items. And that's next Sunday. And the Dornans are going to be providing us with a little goodie supper for all the helpers. And now Sherry. Need to go that far now.
Yeah, and we have about last week I began to hear people, I'm going here and I'm going there, and five or eight families in East Tennessee, two families at least on the in Panama City, and pray for their safe journey home. We have session meets tonight at 6 o'clock. Christian education will not meet, technology will not meet, I don't, and then building and grounds will not meet. But anybody else needs to meet, talk to your committee and meet, okay?
Okay. Like to know if there are any more announcements? If not, what about any first-time visitors?
Now on the back row, and I've kind of figured out who they are, but it's Rachel and her husband, and they're the Hutchisons, and Rachel's mom's been with us a long time, so we welcome her. Here's Ryan, and so it was Rachel Ryan a long time ago. But it took me till Mama to sit down by you before I knew who Rachel really was. Welcome, welcome.
Are there any more first-time visitors? Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Well, and I had already received her permission to introduce her and then overlooked her. So, well, that's the lady I mentioned last week that was we were looking for.
Okay. Jane? Welcome. Hi, Dad.
Just a man. And Mr. Williams is going to sing the special music this morning.
Are there any praise or prayer requests? Anyone else?
Amy's got 11 days to go.
Ooh, count down.
I'm trying to get her husband to tell it, but he wouldn't say to her.
Okay. I don't think she can wait. Ooh. Is there anyone else? If there's no other announcements or praise or prayer requests, we'd like to pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our minds for worship.
He is and He
Worship this morning is responsive and is printed in your bulletin. Shout with joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of His name. Make His name glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down to you.
They sing praise to you and sing praise to your name. Will you please stand?
Lord God, your presence with us. Thank you for meeting with your people whenever they come together in your name. But Lord, we thank you for your presence with us even when we are lost. We thank you that the psalmist has reminded us that we cannot get away from you, that you're always with us, to uphold us, to strengthen us, and when we stray away, to call us back unto yourself. Lord, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for these who have gathered in this place. But wherever your people are today, O Lord, be they on the other side of the earth, are down the street, all who gather in your name, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to speak to them through some aspect of the worship experience. Lord, we know that your name is holy, high, and lifted up. Lord, we reach up to you, but we know that we can never reach you by our own efforts. And thank you for coming down to us in the person of Jesus to redeem us. We thank you in His name. And now we come, O Lord, praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and put our faith, express our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in Christ, we dare to approach God with confidence. A prayer of confession, if you'll follow along with me, is in unison. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from our ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against the holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done.
And we have done those things which we ought not to have done.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are repentant, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And grant, O merciful Father,
for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name.
Assurance of forgiveness. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
Turning your hymnals to page 202, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace of we. Privilege this morning to be able to come here and sing you guys a song. First of all, I just want to say thank you very much for you guys for caring about my family and looking after Judge so well. You know, without the Lord in our lives, we would be nothing, and this is what the song is about. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I would surely fail, and without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. And that's very true in everyone's life and in mine as well. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without Him, I will be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know me today? Please don't turn me away, oh Jesus. My Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Without Him, how lost I would be.
Thank you. It is children's time now with Miss Andrea. All the children will come up, and then there will be children's church with Miss Jonna right after children's time. Sentence this morning is, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." If the ushers will please come forward. have the scripture lesson in the hymn right before the sermon, but I'd like to take this time to plug Wednesday night, the song that they just played during the offertory is one of my favorites from Wednesday night, so that made me think of it. And if you have not been to a Wednesday night in a while, then you are missing an experience. It is a praise service, and the praise band has grown, which I really enjoy, and it feels great to have all these people together worshiping God and Jesus, and just knowing that there are those out there that, I mean, I don't want to use a word like get into the groove of it, but they really do, and I think it's a great thing for the teenagers. They really like it, and it does a few things for us little older folks, too. Nine teenagers. I like that. Nine teenagers. Thanks for listening to me. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew, Acts, and Colossians. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. From Acts, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. From Colossians, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so in that in everything he might have the supremacy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please turn in your hymnal to page 277. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth verses of the Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
think about the church. We're in church. We're in the church house, the place that we often refer to as the church. How many times have you heard the church is not the building, it's the people? The building is the place where the church is housed. Church has had a building since the day of Solomon. A tabernacle or a tent before then, the day of Moses. I'm a part of the church. You're a part of the church. I'd like to share why I'm a member of the church. You've heard the scripture lesson referring to the church, and we hope to kind of expound upon these today. And these verses are a portion of the reasons that I'm a part of the church. Everything is not right with the church. And I'm sure that you have your list of things that are wrong with the church. You know I have mine too. Yes. Been a part of the church since 1954, I guess. An official part of the church. We call it the visible church. And the church is far from perfect. There's some things wrong with the church, and I have my list. You have your list, I know. Every once in a while, you'll share it with me. I try to kind of keep mine to myself, and because I know that everybody else has enough on their mind that they are unhappy with the church about, or that they see wrong with the church. And the people that have find the most wrong with the church, the people outside the church, and they say that that's the reason that they're not here, a part of the church. Heard one guy, I forget who it was, just recently, he said he wasn't into organized religion. Is he into disorganized religion? I don't know what he's into. And I've forgotten who that was, but that was a recent statement that got to me from maybe somebody in this church, and I really can't remember who it was at this time. Maybe about midnight I'll remember and call all of you up and tell you. One thing that you might be unhappy with the church is that the preacher picked songs that we don't know. And for a long time, Sam started picking the songs, and then Sam just quit. And I always took the privilege of adjusting them to the day or the message, and he understood this, and he agreed with this. If we needed to adjust one, that was fine. But somewhere along the way, Sam didn't pick any more songs, and I think he said, sing the ones we sang last year, and I said, oh, let's don't do that. So I'm picking them again, and I picked songs we didn't know, but they're beautiful songs. And we're trying to get through that hymn book. You remember? You visitors won't know, but about 11 years ago, in June, we moved into this building, and I believe the first Sunday was here, we had this song book. And we started going through the song book, singing this every song. And for about a month or two, we did that to about a month or two ago, and we haven't finished everything yet. But you know, we didn't even know all of the songs in this song book. But I thought we had learned it. So we had been over. We had learned those two songs I picked this morning. It might have been, one of them, 84. That was about 7 years ago. We probably hadn't sung it since then. But the Lord tells us, how many years ago? Seven? We haven't sung it. My wife gave me some kind of signal, but I couldn't get it. My math gets confused sometimes. My scripture is right, but my math is confused sometimes. But we went over, was it 84? Was that the name of it? And then 200 and something, so we did learn it. But I'm using that, I'm kind of dwelling on it to say, I know there's some things that you're unhappy with in the church. I mean, everybody has something. And there's some things that I'm unhappy with. And I've been working for 40 years professionally to try to get some things right, and you know, we haven't got it right yet. And I see that. And I told Teresa is helping out in the office while Sam is gone, and then I told her, I said, I might bring this in, and then when I come back and read over it again, we'll change it. That is nothing wrong with you. It may be that I feel that we need to adjust this. So, you think of the things that you have wrong with the church. If you want to, write them down. I don't know how to correct everything, but I don't even know how to correct the things that I see that are wrong with the church. But, with all that's wrong with the church, there's a lot about the church that is right and good. A lot about the church. A lot about it. And I'm proud and pleased and thankful to be a part of the church, because it's the church of Jesus Christ. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. The church is God's church. And I'm proud to be a part of something that God has given His blessings to. Now, sometimes I don't understand how He can keep blessing the church as many times as we have messed up. From sending the people on crusades, not gospel crusades, but killing crusades, back in the 1100s. And then the Spanish Inquisition, and all of those things. The French killings in France of the Huguenots, of the people that were trying to reform, and the burnings at stake, and all that, all in the name of God. But for somehow, God thought enough of the church to preserve it, and with all that has been wrong and is still wrong, He still has a place for the church in the world. The church has a place, a ministry in the world. And the church is God's church, and He hasn't abandoned us yet. And I'm trusting that He won't. So because it is God, I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm not worthy to be a part. I will say that. I'm not worthy of it. But He has still allowed me and called me into His church. That church is God's church. I did a Bible Gateway and typed in Church of God. And I think I found 12 references in Acts and Paul's letters that the Church of God, if you've got a good concordance, you can look it up. The Church of God. And if you've got a good reference Bible, it'll direct you to another place. But also, if you've got a computer and on the internet, you can go to Bible Gateway and just type in the correct spot. I think it's subjects. You can type in Church of God, and it'll put up numerous places. But I think I've listed 12 that referred to the church in Acts and in Paul's letters, either to the churches or to Timothy, referring to the church of God. Acts 20, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. He addresses his letter to the church of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. 1 Corinthians 11, 16. 1 Corinthians 11, 22. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 1:1, another introduction of his letter, calling the people in Corinth, the church of God, writing to the church of God. The letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians, I think it's 1:1 and 1:4. 1 Timothy 3:5. 1 Timothy 3:15. So the church is God's church. And over it's referred to as the church or the churches of God, referring to more than one. But though the church is God's, it belongs to Jesus. Now how does that happen? How can it be both? Well, God gave Jesus authority over the church. Actually, over all things for the purpose of the church. So the church belongs to Jesus. In Ephesians, let Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, in the first chapter and the 22nd verse, it says, God put or placed all things under His feet, under Jesus' feet, and appointed Him, appointed Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. For the church. And some of you have a copy of The Message. That's Peterson's translation or revision, updating the language of the Bible. I think he did it in the early 90s. And he puts it, called The Message, in Ephesians 1:22, he says that Christ rules the church. Jesus the Christ rules the church. So He is in charge of the church. It belongs to Him, God giving it to Him. And then when you go back and you say, God is the Creator, but Jesus is God with us, God in human form, there's no difference. It belongs to God and it belongs to Jesus. If you want to get that deep this morning. But it says Christ or Jesus rules the church. In the New Living Translation, there are many translations of the Bible. If you go and look at various ones, they may help you understand just a little more about it, what it's saying. God the Father, God the Creator, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So God is concerned with the church and He has put Christ over all things, over us even, as individuals out in the world, as well as in the church, or around the church, or the church business, for the benefit of the church. Now what is the church, or who are the church, or who makes up the church? One newsletter I received from up in West Tennessee, it says, we are the church together. And it lists situation after situation after situation. We are the church together. Basically, it's a running account of things that church is doing. Our people that they have concerns for, our situations in the church. We are the church together. So we are the church. We are the church. The church consists of all who trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Probably not going to trust in Him as Lord. Well, you could, I guess, unless you trust in Him as Savior. The church consists, is made up of all who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The church is referred to often as visible and invisible. The visible church being those who are officially members of the church and participate in the worship and the work of the church. Not that we're worshiping the church, but the church at worship. The work of the church. We have officially united with a local congregation. That's a visible church. But the invisible church, there are people out there in the world who trust in Jesus. They're trying to serve Him. They have dedicated their life to Him. They are Christians. But they haven't united with a local church. And there are persons that are in our church that are but other people who are not in our church but in another church. And we can't see them all. It's bigger than our vision is, the church is. Bigger than our comprehension is. So it's referred to as the visible church and the invisible church. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. His church, Jesus' church. On this rock, I will build my church. That was when the Apostle Peter had responded to his questions, who do people say that I am? And they began to name what other people were saying. Then he centered in on the 12 and he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And basically Jesus said, you got it. You hit the nail on the head. You know what you're talking about, Peter. He said, but you didn't think of this. He said, God revealed this to you. This is a God revelation. It's not just your thinking or your wisdom or your comprehension or whatever it is that we have of our own strength. He says, this is something that God has revealed to you. And he said, that was an expression of Peter's faith. And it's been interpreted various ways, but the Reformed tradition has interpreted that it was Peter's faith in Jesus that Jesus said he would build his church upon. I will build my church. And he called it his church, Jesus' church. The Apostle Paul said that he planted when he brought a message, but he didn't always get to harvest the souls that he had preached to. He planted a seed of the gospel. And then there was a distinction or division between some people. In one community, some people says, well, I'm a disciple of Paul. And others say, well, I don't like Paul's preaching, and he's not a handsome man like Apollos, and he's not as eloquent as Apollos is. We're disciples of Apollos. So Paul talks to the church and writes to the church and says that he did the planning. Everybody had a hand in leading people to be a part of the church, those who trust in Jesus. Everybody had a part in adding to the church. He says, I plant, Apollos waters, but it's God who gives the increase. It's God who gives the increase. So it was God working through Paul, through Apollos, one doing one thing, another doing something else, two different personalities, but God blessed it together. And he gave the increase, or he convicted the people who listened, touched their heart, and drew them unto himself. God gave the increase. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 tells when Peter was preaching. Day of Pentecost, a Jewish celebration. They came to Jerusalem for this great celebration. They came from far and they came from near. Many, many, many people were there. Different languages. Our first-time guest this morning said, now, where are these accents from? I said, well, we got one from Russia and one from South Africa. And then we speak Southern English, right? And she's from up north in the Midwest, okay? And I said, we got South African and Russian, and we didn't talk about our Southern English. She could pick that up pretty good, I think. You know, she could identify that if she lived here very long. But anyhow, people were there in Jerusalem from all over. There were Medes, there were Parthians, and you just read Acts chapter 2 and see where all the people were from. They came together, and Peter preached. And the miracle there was, I don't know what he spoke in, but they heard in their own language. Somebody preached a sermon on this one once, and I was present. They said it was a miracle of hearing as much as it was a miracle of speaking. And so they heard in their own language. They heard the gospel message. They heard that Jesus had died for our sins. And they trusted in him. And then after the sermon, about not exact number, but about 3,000 souls were added. If you keep on reading in Acts chapter 2, you get to verse 47, and it says, the Lord added. So the Lord builds the church. God gives the increase. The Lord added to their number, the number of church members, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And we think they started out, Jesus had 12 around him. And somewhere along the way, it's mentioned they had 120. So was it 12 and 108 or 12 and 120? We could argue over that all day, couldn't we? It doesn't matter. But he had a group around him. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, 3,000 souls were added. But then each day, what questions did they have to ask to join the church? Probably not the same questions that we ask. But is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior? Do you repent of your sin? Do you submit to baptism? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's verse 47. The church is a body with Jesus as the head. The church is a body with Jesus. Savetta did this PowerPoint for me, and she found this picture for me. Look at it. Picture of Jesus with outstretched arms. Can you find your face there? Can you find your face there? Probably not your face, but it could be, because it is there, represented in this picture by somebody else. But Jesus is, as we understand Him to look, artist's conceptions, all we have. We didn't have cameras back then. Jesus' face as we recognize. The church is a body with Jesus Christ as the head. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God arranges the parts of the body as He pleases. We're the trunk. Jesus is the head. He's the thinker. He's the director. We're the trunk. Or we're the limbs. You know, what if we ate through the end of our fingers? Wouldn't that be something? Be careful with it. God has arranged us in an orderly fashion. We eat through our mouth. We walk on our feet. We breathe with our lungs. Smell with our nose. God chose how to arrange us when He created us. But God chooses how we fit in the body, His church. He arranges us as He pleases. Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, in our hymnal here, is the scripture verse at the top of Jesus loves me. But I really think that scripture verse is talking about the church. The church. Jesus loves not just the little children of the world. We usually think that's a children's song. But it's an adult song too. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. He loves us enough to come and die for us. How much does He love us? Oh, let me turn to Ephesians here. Time runs away every Sunday. How does that happen? Keeps running away. But Jesus loved us, gave Himself for us. It says Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He's talking about how much a husband should love his wife, but he uses how much Jesus loves the church to illustrate how a husband should love his wife. Just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church. Jesus gave Himself, surrendered Himself, died on the cross, that He might make us radiant, that He might make the church radiant. without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. I said, I opened up saying the church has a lot of wrinkles or a lot of problems. Are there things that I didn't agree with in the church? Are we, the church is not perfect, far from it. But Jesus gave himself for us that we might be holy, devoted to him, that we might live holy lives, separated lives from the world, and that we might be without stain or wrinkle. I think one version says spot or blemish or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And the end of all, the consummation, as it's referred to, he wants to be able to have presented to him this church that's described right here. How much a husband should love his wife is illustrated by how much Jesus loves the church, and how much Jesus loves the church is illustrated by the perfect relationship between a husband and wife. Have you read Song of Solomon recently? It's quite interesting. Song of Solomon, I even got it out and read it this morning. I knew I was going to refer to it just to refresh my mind. I read a bit. A beautiful poem. Lovers expressing their love for one another. Lovers expressing their love for one another. And Jesus loves us just like that. Jesus loves us. This I know. The church consists of all those who trust in Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. We said that earlier. We said it as Lord and Savior. Jesus has came to die for us. The church exists to lead the rest of the world to trust Jesus. Friends, it's not an exclusive club, but it's an inclusive fellowship. Abraham was blessed. Genesis chapter 12. How many times have you heard me refer to Genesis chapter 12? Abraham was going to be blessed by God. But he was supposed to use the blessing that he received to be a blessing to all the rest. We're part of the church. We've been blessed by it, so that we can be a blessing to the rest of the world. What do you think about the church? Can you stand and sing that you love the church? Love the kingdom, the earthly kingdom as we see it on earth, the visible kingdom, part of the visible part of Jesus' kingdom is the church. I love thy kingdom. Let's stop standing and sing the first verse. Maybe you'd like to be a part of the church. If so, we invite you to come forward. If you are trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'll receive you as a member of God's church under the Lordship of Jesus Christ.